and amen. I want you to open your Bibles for a few moments this evening in the book of John's Gospel in the chapter 8, the chapter before Gregory was reading in chapter 9. We're in chapter 8, and I want us just to read a few verses because of time this evening, a few verses from the Word of God. Verse number 31 of John's Gospel, chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we be Abram's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And it's that final verse that I want to leave with you this evening. For the Spirit of God is written upon my heart, and I know there's a word that God has given to me for this evening. It's the verse number 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Once again, we're gathered in a special service of remembrance. And we gather here because we have got the privilege and the honor of having the freedom to come to God's house, none daring to make us afraid. We have the freedom of worship still in Ulster. We have the freedom of conscience. We have the freedom of expression. Although, let us be quite honest, many of those freedoms are being threatened. And the government is threatening the freedom that you have, even of your worship. And they tell a young woman going to work, and she went to work, she had a cross around her neck. They said, you should leave your religion at home. That's what the solicitors for the government, our United Kingdom government, suggested. You should leave your religion at home. And even just simply having that empty cross there was an expression of a religion. Expression of clear opportunity and freedom of expression of opinion and of our conscience. But friend, let me tell you tonight, when we come to God's house, we need to remember this. That freedom came to us at a great cost. And that just didn't happen. Men and women had to die. We think of the United Kingdom, across the United Kingdom, and indeed in many places of the world. Remember the First World War, 16 million deaths. During that war, 20 million people were wounded in that war. We think of the Second World War. In actual fact, we're told that over 60 million people were killed. 2.5% of the world's population were killed in the Second World War. What was it all about, friend? It was a battle for freedom. And of course, now it seems to be that we're in danger to be dictated to by those that we defeated in the war. And they tell us what we ought to do and, my, what we ought to say and different things about even what we ought to be economically and all the rest. And we think of not only the world wars that are past, but also tonight as we gather in this house. We have soldiers, thousands of our soldiers are fighting a battle in Afghanistan. And many of them have died. They have laid down their lives in the battle for freedom. Of course, there are many said, well, you know, that was not necessary because it's not a war that we should be fighting in at all. Men and women, let me tell you this, have died for freedom. To give you and I the privilege, the honor, to be able to come into God's house. And remember, whilst you and I have that freedom, there are millions, yes, billions of people in this world that are underneath tyranny, they're underneath the bondage of dictatorship. They can't meet in a meeting place like this. They can't gather in an open place where the Word of God is open. They can't express their religious beliefs in the way that our brother Gregory did in a word of testimony. And you know, we've got to realize that we've got to appreciate we can. Praise God we can. When you pray for our country, pray that God will give us the freedom in the days to come to be able to stand in a place like this and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now when we think of all of those freedoms, there's another verse of God's word in John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 36.
And it says these words, it says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that is what I want to leave with you, some simple truths found in that verse. Because I believe there is a powerful message here, if the Son shall make you free. Now, I want you to think of those words, make you free. Because there is an implication in those words. If he is to make us free, that implies that we're not already free. And therefore we need to be made free. And what the Savior is speaking here, he's speaking to the Jews, and they were people of religion, and yet they have not the freedom of knowing their sins forgiven. They did not experience the blessing of spiritual freedom. In other words, the implication here was this, that they were in bondage. In actual fact, if you look there in the verse that they spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, they said in verse number 33, we be Abram's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. We were never in bondage. And so therefore we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a people who believed that they never had experienced bondage. They were never in bondage, they said. We were never in bondage to any man. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about being a servant. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And that simply indicates there that you are a slave, you are bound, you are in bondage to sin. And friend, let me tell you, many people are in bondage in their human circumstances. As I said, they haven't the freedoms that we have. But can I ask you here, you're sitting in a meeting house, a preaching house of the gospel of Christ, but have you got spiritual freedom? Do you know what it is that the Son hath made you free? Do you realize that you are in bondage to your sin? There's a little verse over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 23. He shall die without instruction. Verse 22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And that means that we are born in our sin and we are holden in the cords of our sin. And therefore men and women need to be set free. That's why it says, he whom the Son sets free or makes free, he shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free. And you say to me tonight, but preacher, I'm not in bondage, I'm free. I'm free. I can do whatever I like. You see, I'm a free person. I'm free to do whatever I like. Friend, that's not true. That's not true. You can't see that you're in bondage. But the Bible says that he who committeth sin, the Word of God makes it abundantly clear, he's a servant. He is in bondage to sin. He's not free to do whatever he likes. He is under the bondage. He is the servant of his sin. In other words, sin is the unconverted person's master. You are serving sin. You're not free to do what you want. You are doing what your old nature is telling you to do and what the sinful nature that you are born with. The Bible tells us that we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. You know, David said those words in Psalm 51. You remember the sin he committed with Bathsheba? But let me tell you, friend, David didn't become a sinner when he sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned with Bathsheba because he's a sinner. And that's the reality of us. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you and I are born with the nature of sin. And here's the question. Do you see the condition of your heart tonight? These people, they didn't. They said, listen, we were never in bondage to any man. Don't you talk to us about being in bondage? We never were in bondage to any man. And the unconverted man, he says, well, I don't need Jesus. People say, well, I'm walking the clean side of the road. There is no clean side of the road to hell. There is not. There's no such thing as a clean side of the road to hell. You might be walking a religious way. You might be trying to do the best you can. But the Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says the condition of our heart is this, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Now, let me tell you this. In reality, it wasn't true what they said to the Lord. They said we were never in bondage to any man, friend. That wasn't true. Had they forgotten about the bondage of Egypt? You remember the children of Israel down in Egypt when they were in bondage? You remember God says, I have heard their cry, and they're crying to heaven, oh God, deliver us. And yet now they're saying, we were never in bondage to any man. And what about Babylon? What about whenever the children of Israel are sitting in Babylon and the people of Babylon says, sing us the Lord's song. And they started to cry and they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were in bondage. And yet here we find in John's gospel, they turned to the Lord Jesus. They had the audacity to turn to the Christ who knew their hearts. And they said, we were never in bondage to any man. They just pushed it all aside. They pushed Egypt aside. They pushed Babylon aside. They pushed many years that they were in the wilderness experience aside and said, we were never in bondage to any man. And friends, let me be quite honest before God. There are people who come to church Sunday after Sunday and they don't think they need God's salvation. They don't see that they need to be saved. They don't see that they need to be born again of the Spirit of God because they do not see the condition of their heart. They don't see their lostness. They don't see the emptiness of their soul. They don't see their sin as God sees it. And the Word of God says, your sin, your iniquity shall separate between you and God. Not only did they not see the condition of it, they couldn't see the condemnation of their sin. For the Word of God says this, the wages of your sin is death. He that believeth not is condemned already. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. How many more verses has God got to give, friend? One verse would be enough. How many times has God got to speak to the sinner and tell them, listen, you in your sin, if you die in your sin where Christ is, you will never be. We buried a lovely young fellow, 34 years of age, in this graveyard this past week. But thank God we had the privilege of seeing Andrew brought to Christ and saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that this young man, we'll see him again. We'll see him in the glory. We'll see him in the presence of the Savior. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if Andrew Moore had continued on and said, I don't care what you're saying, preacher. I don't care what God's saying. I don't care what anybody tells me. I'm not a sinner. I'm just as good as any other man. And that would be true. They're just as good as any other man, but that makes them a sinner. For God says all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And so there is an implication here. You see, the Word of God says He needs to make you free. You need to be made free. Why? Because, friend, of yourself, you can't do it. And that brings to the instruction here. It says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free. And that, thank God, is what Gregory was talking about. You remember the young man who was made as he came to the Lord and he was blind and he couldn't see. But praise God, the Lord Jesus worked a miracle. And the people asked him, how did it happen? He said, listen, I don't know. But this I do know. I don't know about this man Jesus you're talking about. I don't know whether he's a sinner. I don't know. I've never met him before, but I'll tell you this. I'm glad I met him this time. I'm glad I met Jesus this day because, listen, he says, once I was blind, but now I see. Friend, let me tell you, nobody could talk him out of it because he had that wonderful experience of the mighty grace of God worked in his life. But notice what here says the instruction. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free. And you know that reminds us? It tells us simply this. You can't make yourself free. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, in this Remembrance Sunday, you know, I'm trying the best I can. I do the best I can. I try to live honorably. I try to live decently. I do this, I do that. I don't do this and I don't do that. But let me tell you, my friend, you're a sinner. And as a sinner, you can't save yourself. He will never be able to cleanse your soul from your sin. Even though if you were to start over and you say, listen, from tonight I will change my life and I will never sin again. If that were possible, it's not. But if it were, what about the past? What about your past sins? What about every sin? Let me tell you this, and everybody has that past. I don't care who you are. Every man has a past life of sin. But praise God, Jesus Christ came to deliver the sinner. And thank God he was anointed to preach the gospel. And he was anointed, my friend, by the Spirit to set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, and praise God, his blood avails for me, made free. But where is this one who can deliver me? No, I was speaking to a dear brother the other day, and he said to me, he says, you know, I had a brother-in-law, and I talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. We had no time for the things of God. To be honest, he just couldn't see it. He just couldn't see it. And I would tell him, and then one day he said to me this. He says, he sat me down and he said, are you trying to tell me that I was born in sin and that I'm a sinner before God? But if I put my faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary, that somehow God's going to wipe out my past. That God's going to forgive all my sin. And what all I have to do is simply rest my soul in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And the preacher, because it was a preacher friend of mine who was telling me the story about his brother-in-law, he said to me, yes. He said, that's true. That's all you have to do. He says, you know, it's too simple. It can't be. It can't be. Then one day he went out on a fishing trip. He went down south. Took the family and they went down on a fishing trip. And as they were down on the fishing trip, something happened. A pain. He had this awful pain in his heart and around his heart. And as this pain would grip him, and now he realized there was something serious, and he started to cry out like this to his wife. He says, if only, if only. And then suddenly he looked to heaven and he cried these words. He says, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And just when he cried those words for him, just he dropped like that. Let's go. They got the paramedics, they got all the doctors, they did everything else. He was gone. But God saved him at the last moment. If only, if only. And then, listen, he had to throw a cast. He had to throw aside all his doubts and fears. And he threw himself in Christ and he says, Lord, save me. Save me. You see, friend, the Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he can make you free. But very quickly, listen, notice the individuality here, individualism here. It says this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. See, we're not saving crowds. Salvation is a personal experience between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to come by faith personally to the Lord Jesus. Maybe your husband's saved. My friend, I'll not take you to heaven, woman. Maybe your wife's saved. But man, let me tell you, your wife's salvation won't take you to heaven. Maybe your daddy's saved. Maybe your mommy's saved. Let me tell you this, children. That will not take you to heaven. There's going to be a great separation of that soul. For they're going to heaven in Christ and you're going to hell without them. You see, it says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free. And I want to ask you here, can you honestly say, preacher, before God, he set me free? That's what Gregory's testimony is about tonight. The Lord setting him free. The Lord removing the scales from his eyes where he realized that he was a sinner. He realized that he needed the Savior. And he cried out on the Lord to save him. And thank God, God heard his cry. Can the Lord do this? Has the Lord proved that he has saved others? You know, Abram was brought up in a pagan home. But thank God the Lord changed him by faith. And he became the friend of God, and he became the father of the faithful. Do you remember that woman sitting at the well of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was sitting there and she came along. She was a sinner. She had five husbands. But the man she was living with was not her husband at all. But that day, life changed. Because, listen, the Son set her free. And you know, she was so excited about it. She ran into the city and she said to the men of the city, "Come! Come see a man that told me everything that I did." Thank God that day her life was changed. Saul of Tarsus, he was on the road to Damascus to destroy the people of God. But Jesus changed him that day. You know, the others saw the light. But let me tell you this, they didn't see Jesus. Friend, listen, you need a personal experience with Christ. This is real freedom I'm talking about. Here is individual freedom. What about the dying thief on the cross? And as he was about to close his eyes in death, he said, Lord, remember me. He says, me. Remember me. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you been set free? Have you come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and cried on the Lord, as that man did, just as it's that fishing trip, Lord, save me? Thank God there's an indication here. It says, if the Son thereof shall sin the Son thereof, or therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free, free indeed. Glorious freedom. It's not half-hearted salvation. Thank God it's full salvation. And I say, standing in this pulpit tonight, I want to tell you, I have good news on this Remembrance Sunday. Not only that men went and died for our freedom, but I want to tell you about one who did. His name is Jesus. And he went to Calvary's cross to deliver us from the greatest bondage that man could ever be in the bondage of his sin. And the wonderful thing is this, that the work that God has started in our hearts, thank God he'll perform it. He'll finish it to the day of Christ. He's not going to do a half job. He'll not do a renovation job. Thank God he'll do a real job. Foundation up. Do you know why? Because he's the foundation. Build your life upon the sands. And friend, you'll go to hell. But thank God Jesus Christ is the only foundation. Here's the last thought. And there's an inference here. Notice the first word of the text. If the Son, therefore shall make you free. If the Son. Because you see, the reality is this. There are people who don't want it. There are people who do not want Christ. There are people who do not want God's salvation. You can tell them about anything else. They don't want God's salvation, friend. If you handed them a gospel tract, they'd just crumble it up, they'd throw it down, they'd walk over it. They couldn't care. Because they don't want this freedom. But they say, I live the way I want. No, friend. No man lives to himself, because he who commits sin is the servant, the slave of sin. But there's a great Savior. His name is Jesus. And thank God he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Would you come to him tonight? Would you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and cry out, as Peter did many years ago, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he caught him. Praise God, he drew him from the water. And thank God, he'll snatch you from the very jaws of hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. Write in the hearts of everyone that has come to this place and bring them to personal faith in Jesus Christ. Let not one leave without knowing the Savior, because the Son can set them free. Jesus, God's Son, can set them free. Free from sin. Free from its guilt and pollution. Free from the plague. One day free from the presence of sin. And oh God, free to live for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.